Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And you can take us on the go wherever you are with the Odyssey app. You can also watch us right now on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. Going to get back into the Masters right now. Jason Sobel, host for the Golf Channel on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM, joins us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. What's up, Jason?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Are you still in Augusta, or are you back home yet?
I am somewhere, I believe, still in Georgia. Not home yet, but not in Augusta anymore.
Mm. Where do you live in Florida?
I live in Orlando, yeah.
Okay.
Jason's very big on where you live, where
yes,
you are.
We all are, yeah.
He gets right into it.
Well, because I knew he was in Augusta because I was listening to him, and he was on the practice range. Was that yesterday? I think you were on the practice range.
Saturday, I was at the tournament practice area. If you call the range, they kick you out.
They kick you out. Right.
Tournament practice area. That might be exaggerating, but you got to use the proper terminology there. But Saturday, I was there. Sunday, I was doing our 4-hour featured group show from inside the press building.
Gotcha.
I saw you tweeted Scottie Scheffler is inevitable. Can you kind of expand on that? Is it just he's just leaps and bounds better than everybody right now?
He is. I wish I had some great analysis for you on the Monday morning to break down exactly, you know, why Scottie's playing well and what it means. He's just really, really good. He's better than everybody else right now. And, you know, I think I learned more from the players who didn't win than from the one who did win over the weekend, because I've been doing this for a long time. I always, it's usually my job to speak with the other contenders in what they call the flash area, essentially the interview area by scoring when they walk off the 18th green, and talk to the players afterwards. And it's usually very emotionally charged. After being in contention for 4 days at a Masters and not winning, players are usually a bit teary-eyed. Their voices are cracking. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. You don't get that many chances, and they know that they just gave one up. Speaking with Max Homa and Colin Morikawa and a few of the other players who are in contention, there wasn't that sense yesterday, and I think it was because Scottie Scheffler is just so good that they all sort of throw their hands up. They're like, yeah, I actually played really well. Max almost like, I didn't really make any mistakes. I got a really bad break on 12, but I didn't really make any huge mistakes. I played pretty well, and yet Scotty went out there and extended the lead and just basically gave everybody else the Heisman. And so what I do see from those other players is all of them saying, I kind of know what I have to do now. I have to work harder, and I have to get better, because if I don't, I'm never going to beat this guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jason, you tweeted this an hour ago at Jason Sobel Golf, and it's pretty remarkable. The Scheffler futures at BetMGM right now for both the PGA and the U.S. Open, he's at plus 450. For the Open Championship, is at plus 600. And already for next year's Masters, he's at plus 500. Like, that's pretty crazy. Those odds are still so low for him, but you wouldn't feel comfortable taking anybody else to these next upcoming tournaments other than Scheffler, would you?
No, and that's going to be the narrative in golf betting over the next 3 months, I think. And I obviously cover that side of the industry these days. And what we've seen until Scotty went on this run about a month and a half ago was a ton of parity on the PGA Tour. In fact, there was a narrative over the first two and a half months of the season that we had all long shots. There wasn't anyone shorter than 40-1 who had won a golf tournament. Now it seems like Scottie Scheffler is just going to win every single time he plays. It makes betting on the game very interesting because do you want to play Scottie Scheffler at a short number like that? Yeah, not really. In fact, I had a hard time recommending Scottie this past week as much as I liked him at plus 400 going into the Masters. And yet, you don't really want to bet on anyone else either because he's Scottie Scheffler and he's that much better. It is a complete catch-22 right now, and I think it's going to continue being that way until Scottie proves to us that he's not as good as he is right now, which I don't see an end coming anytime soon.
Jason, we were talking about Scottie's last 2 years and his top five finishes, and if you just kind of go through the results, I mean, the number of top five finishes is just it's stupid.
I don't know,
Tiger probably played less tournaments in his prime, but, and I'm not comparing Scottie to Tiger. I mean, we'll never see another Tiger, but the fact that he has so many top fives, I don't understand it. I mean, golf's not that easy and he makes it look that way. And they were talking about it on the coverage yesterday on CBS that Scottie just just avoids the big mistakes and he lets everyone else below him make those big mistakes, kind of like Tiger did. Tiger would be very conservative and he just wouldn't make the big mistake. And that's kind of the way Scottie plays.
There's no doubt. Look, okay, a few things here. First of all, I won't compare Scottie Scheffler to Tiger Woods. I don't think that's fair to either one of them. That said, Scottie Scheffler is without a doubt the most dominant men's player in golf over the last 15 years, I think, since Tiger Woods was in his prime. Secondly, Tiger Woods had the greatest ceiling we've ever seen in golf and probably ever will see in golf. If you want to say that Jack Nicklaus was, quote-unquote, the best or the GOAT because he had 18 majors and Tiger fell short of that, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I think it's disingenuous to believe that Tiger wasn't the most dominant, didn't have the highest ceiling. All of that said, I'm not so sure that Scottie Scheffler's floor isn't higher than Tiger's was, even in his prime. And what I mean by that, for those who don't consume gambling content, who don't really get the concept of ceilings and floors, it means that, okay, when Tiger had his A game back in the day, Tiger's A game was going to be better than everybody else's A game. He was going to win if he had his best stuff. Scottie Scheffler's A game is really, really good right now, but Scottie Scheffler's B game, and quite honestly, that might have been what we saw this past weekend with Scottie Scheffler's B game. That might not have been the best that he could play. Like you said, he did play a little conservative. He was trying to be patient throughout the entire weekend. Scottie Scheffler's B game is miles better than everybody else's B game, and that's why he's got so many of those top five and top ten finishes. Even when he doesn't win, he's right there at the end of these things. It's a testament to how much he works, and it's a testament to how good his average stuff, how good his quote-unquote bad stuff really is, because his bad stuff is better than most guys' good stuff.
So, Jason, we finished, Sunday was a little softer, right? A little quieter conditions. We had some better scoring. But, I don't have a historical knowledge of this. I just know from watching as a fan. I can't remember last time only like eight guys finished under par, right? Really tough conditions the first 3 days. Where does this sort of stand up historically? Like, when have we had other masters this tough?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing last night, and I started doing the research because I think there were 25 guys who broke par for four rounds last year. And then I looked at 2022 when Scottie Scheffler won that year as well, and I think there were only nine guys that year. So you don't have to go back too far to see a very similar year, similar for a few different reasons. Scottie winning and not too many guys under par. There may be a direct correlation between the two of those things. So we've seen it in the past. Look, Mother Nature is going to be the greatest determinant of scoring. We know Augusta National. We know what the course is. We know where all the traditional hole locations are, especially on the weekends. It's going to be determined by the wind, which we had a ton of over the first two rounds. It's going to be determined by how fast and firm the golf course is. And I thought, even though it was a little bit softer yesterday, it certainly was not easy scoring conditions by any means. And so it's going to play tougher, and we're going to get scores that aren't so far into the red numbers. But I thought it was a terrific Masters. Yes, did look a little bit like a U.S. Open at times with the scoring so tough on the leaderboard. But, again, that's just based on the conditions.
All right, Jason, we'll talk about Tiger after this. But I want to ask you about Rory. He's had a bad year. All right, last year he obviously had a lot of stuff on his mind. You could probably use that as an excuse. But this year he's had a bad year. Results-wise, Friday's round at 77 kind of eliminated him here. Clearly Augusta's in his head. But his play just isn't good, especially with his short irons. I mean, I couldn't believe how many wedges he was missing greens with. And I don't know if you've watched the Netflix Full Swing, but he kind of questioned his game in that, and that was last year. He was questioning it to his coach and his caddy. What's going on with Rory? Is it simply in his head, or is it bad mechanics? What is it?
So two different things. As far as his game overall, you're right. The wedge game is not very good. It hasn't been good for a long time. I don't know how a player of his caliber can't fix that. In fact, he's driving it so good. What we've found from the advanced analytics these days is that there's no longer drive for show, putt for dough. It's the long game is the most important thing. Scottie Scheffler is the best player tee to green in the world, and that's why he's winning all these golf tournaments. He's a very average putter by the numbers, and yet he can still win being an average putter. Rory McIlroy has been far and away the best driver of the golf ball on the PGA Tour this year. He's not only hitting it long, I think he's second or third in distance, but he's in the top 20% in accuracy as well. That's pretty much unheard of for the big hitters, and the fact that he's not turning that into good scores is pretty remarkable. I don't quite understand how and why he hasn't figured out that wedge game, but until he does, he's not going to start winning golf tournaments. And I will throw out that you're absolutely right about him in the Masters. It is absolutely in his head. He has tried everything, and I give him credit for I'm going to treat this like the most important thing in the world. I'm going to go and make three scouting trips beforehand and try my best. Then he's got, I'm going to treat it like it's just another tournament, no big deal. This past week, he played the Valero Texas Open the week before, didn't show up until Tuesday, played a quiet little nine-hole practice round by himself on Wednesday. He was the last player in the field to register for the tournament. Okay, I'm going to slow play it. Not a big deal. And that backfired as well. So, look, again, I give him credit for it. At least he's not just banging his head against the wall and trying to do the same thing year in, year out. But I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what the next thing is to try. But that window is absolutely closing a little bit every year for a mid-30s Rory McIlroy right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have to talk about Tiger. He's always the needle. He's always the guy that everybody wants to kind of keep an eye on. And for the first 2 days, I thought it was rather remarkable, especially that Friday round, even par. You know, he's like in 22nd place, whatever he was. He was right there. Yep. And then I know that – see, I differ a little bit because the narrative is, you know, body just breaks down. He can't handle it. And I think there's some truth to that. But I don't think it's all of it. I think part of it is just, like, reps. Like, he hasn't played tournaments. Like, like I think it's endurance more than it is, oh, his leg is killing him, you know? And there's a little bit of Tiger that – listen, I think he's the most fascinating player. He's my favorite athlete to watch. But he does annoy me with, you know, he has a double bogey and all of a sudden he's limping. Or, you know, they makes a birdie putt and the guy, he's sprinting off the green. You know, there's a like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve a little bit, you know? I don't think he's broken beyond repair yet. It's a long way of saying those first two rounds are very encouraging. I think the bigger point was getting through four rounds. He did that. I just wish he'd play more. He doesn't have the reps.
I will put it this way. I am more optimistic about Tiger's short-term future right now than I was at this point a week ago. He had only played 27 holes of competitive golf going into the Masters. So, you're right. Does he need reps? Absolutely. But this is sort of one of these catch-22s. He needs more reps, so he has to go play more, but he's not healthy enough to play more. So how does he get the reps? I don't know how you fix this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Tiger quite knows. I love his mentality. I asked him a question on Friday afternoon after we knew he would make the cut, and I asked him to sort of reflect on 24 consecutive made cuts, the record at Augusta National. What does it mean to you? And I thought Tiger might use that to wistfully walk down memory lane a little bit. And he said, what it means to me is I've got a chance this weekend, just got to go out there and, you know, put up a couple of low scores.
Right.
I actually give him a lot of credit for not just going, yeah, well, made the cut. That was what I was trying to do this week. Now I'm done. It was, how can I go out and win this thing? How can I get a six-screen jacket? Look, I learned a long time ago, never bet against Tiger Woods. Never say he can't do anything, because I'm not sure a lot of us necessarily envisioned 2019 ever happening when he won the Masters that year. So do I think he's going to come back and win again? No, but again, I'm more optimistic right now about his game. He played four rounds. Parts of the game look good. He was right. He said yesterday, I wasn't that far off from the 66. Tom Kim shot a 66 yesterday, right behind him. He said, I wasn't that far off from it. I watched every single swing yesterday, and I can confirm, like, I know, yeah, okay, that's what he shoots, 73, 74, like, or actually a little bit higher.
77, yeah.
77, sorry. Right. I know that saying, you know, just a little more, and I could have been 11 shots better. I know that sounds like something you or I would say when we're out playing with our buddies, but it really wasn't that far off. It could have been much better. He left every putt dead in the heart, about 6 inches short of the hole, did that time and again throughout the entire round. What does it mean going forward? Probably not a whole lot. We love asking players, you know, what did you learn about yourself during this round? And I'm not sure Tiger necessarily learned anything about himself this week other than he can go out and play four rounds. Now he just has to play them better.
Real quick, what did you make of Jason Day's outfits?
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible, but you know what? We're talking about it. We're bringing up Jason Day's outfits on a Monday morning, which is probably exactly what they wanted.
Well, there's two factors there, Jason. First of all, it's the horrific designs, which I guess over in Korea or Japan or wherever the hell it is, people are buying this stuff up. Okay, that's fine. I think the designs are horrific. But the other part is the fit, this whole baggy thing. They're trying to go back to a baggy thing. My guys are telling me that, you know, baggy's in, and then I'm a year behind the curve. Are we going to go back to old pleated baggy? I can't do that. I can't do it.
I'm with you. I threw away all the pleated baggy stuff like 20 years ago, and I'm not going back. I can't do it. I think it looks ridiculous. Jason Day played golf at Augusta National this past week, carrying his sunglasses in the pocket of his cargo pants. I don't even know what to say about that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then they made him take off the sweater, yeah. Right? They asked him to?
Yes, they did. He said that at least after the round. At least it was strongly suggested that he not wear a sweater that had Malbon Golf Championship, which isn't a real thing, by the way. That doesn't exist. But he had a sweater saying Malbon Golf Championship, almost looking like he was promoting another golf tournament while playing in the Masters. That's a bad look. Come on, Jason.
How much are they paying him? I know every manufacturer wanted him when he left Nike. Why did he choose him? They must be paying him an outrageous amount.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I believe it's pretty high-end stuff. I mean, even if it looks a little different from everything else, I believe the stuff's not cheap. And so they look at it as we get Jason Day. They're getting a ton of pub, like him or hate him. Even if 95% of the public is like, that stuff looks terrible. If 5% of the golf public looks at it and goes, ah, looks pretty good on him, I want to try that out, they're going to do really well in the marketplace. So maybe it's worth it.
Hey, Jay, will Scheffler play at the RBC, or will this be the one signature he just misses?
According to his dad last night, he is still in the field and is going to play. We were sort of on baby watch this week. Scotty told me on Saturday evening, if Meredith called him at some point before the final round, his wife, who is 8.5 months pregnant, he would leave. He'd withdraw from the golf tournament and leave. I'm not sure that was ever really in danger. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but that's at least what he had been saying. So the fact that he's going to go now that she's going to be 8 months and 8.75 months pregnant, going into the RBC Heritage, he says he's still playing. We'll see what happens.
All right, Jason. Good stuff as always. Always love having you on. This is Jason Sobel.
Thank you, buddy.
Host for the Golf Channel on PGA Tour Radio on SiriusXM. Thanks, pal.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.